Amen. I heard that Grenada closed everything down, and so Phil's going to have to stay with us. You probably didn't hear that, did you? Okay, well, it just came over Facebook. And it's very accurate in its announcement. So you'll hear it next. Yeah. All are welcome. All are welcome to this sanctuary and to be known as the beloved of God. We come to worship God, to give God thanks, and to praise our Lord. In the midst of this, we are renewed of spirit and restored of soul and sent as small into this world to do great things, blessed by God, as God works through us to do these great things. Trust and obey, beloved of God, because God is here, and God loves you, and will take you to the world to spread the seed of the Word of God. So we start with some announcements. We are continuing the praying group. We'll do it for another four-week session. And it is at 12:15 on Sundays and on 10 o'clock on Wednesdays. This Wednesday, Thursday, I've got it written down here, the 27th, we will not have prayer group for those of you that attend during that time. You can interchange. You can come on a different day. You don't have to come all the time. You can come all the time if you want to. It is for both men and women. So please come and join us as we share our joys and our concerns with our Lord and to be in fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. There is a special board meeting tomorrow night at 6:30. We're going to be talking to people. Hello. Reverend Nathan Wilson and his wife Janet are here from over in Shelbyville. I have no idea why he's not preaching this morning, but praise God that you are here. So glad to see you. Welcome, welcome. But we have a special board meeting tomorrow night to vote on the choir director, and that will be, we talked about Joshua. Joshua is one of two who received a full ride scholarship to Jacob School of Music at IU. And so I think he has some good credentials. I think maybe we can vote on him and decide. He's lovely. He's full of just so much energy and has lots of ideas. And in fact, he and Stephen are switching positions. Stephen is now in his position in Vermont, and he's coming down here to finish his doctoral work. So just know that that is there. After that quick vote, I am assuming, we will then have calendar night. And calendar night is where we just put paper up all around and all the different committees, the committee chairs, the committee co-chairs, And anyone who wants to attend, just to know about what's going on in the church for this next calendar year, or wants to contribute to that, please come after 6:30. So all are welcome to be a part of that. If you want to share your musical talent, whether that be instrument or voice, you are most welcome to come and sign up or talk to Janie Lair to fill in for our anthem music this summer, as they are on hiatus, our choir's on hiatus. So please plan on doing that. Fresh vegetables are needed for community dinners on Wednesday nights, and so if you want to bring those in, that would be much appreciated. And Christian Men's Fellowship, Steve, you want to say a word or two about that?
Tab talk.
Good morning.
Good morning. Raphael says that's good.
He does that to me all the time.
Don't you just love a professional? Last week I told you a little bit about the men's group, and I'm starting to get some names. Tab talk had a few paragraphs in about some of my thoughts. Unfortunately, I left off my contact information. So I posted today on the website my email address and my phone number. My grandkids will not let me do tweets or Instagram. They say that I'm too old for that. So we're looking at text. Any way to get a hold of me, call Sharon. Sharon can get a hold of me. I want to get a group together, obviously, and discuss the direction that we need to take. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, are there any other announcements? They don't want him on those places because they want to be able to say what they want to say freely. It's not about his age, it's about his take on life. If you will stand, our call to worship this morning is in our hymnal on page 355.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So let us say together, as members of the Christian Church, we confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and proclaim him Lord and Savior of the world. In Christ's name and by his grace, we accept our mission of witness and service to all people. We rejoice in God, maker of heaven and earth, and in the covenant of love, which binds us to God and one another. Through baptism into Christ, we enter into newness of life and are made one with the whole people of God. In the communion of the Holy Spirit, we are joined together in discipleship and in obedience to Christ. At the table of the Lord, we celebrate with thanksgiving the saving acts and presence of Christ. Within the universal church, we receive the gift of ministry and the light of Scripture. In the bonds of Christian faith, we yield ourselves to God that we may serve the one whose kingdom has no end. Blessing, glory, and honor be to God forever. Amen. Now, if you would remain standing, we'll have our opening hymn, number 718. We'll do verses 1 and 2.
Thank you.
may greet one another. And also, if you haven't already, take a chance to sign our attendance book. And also take an opportunity to get a postcard from the pew and send it to a friend. Our scripture reading today is Mark 4, 30 to 32. I'm going to be reading from the Message Bible, but you can follow along in the Pew Bibles if you'd like. It's on page 33 of the New Testament. How can we picture God's kingdom? What kind of story can we use? It's like a pine nut. When it lands on the ground, it is quite small as seeds go. Yet once it's planted, it grows into a huge pine tree with thick branches. Eagles nest in it.
I'm passing around some mustard seeds. Please take one or two and then pass them on, and we'll pass them around. And then I'll tell you later what we'll do with those. We go into our time of prayer now when we share with one another our joys so that they may be multiplied among us. And we share our worries and our concerns and our sorrows among our brothers and sisters in Christ so that they might be divided and the burden of them lightened. I start this morning with some that I already have. We lift up in prayer Bill and Janie Lair, Bill's sister Barb. We've mentioned her last week, and she still is progressing, still being diagnosed, still receiving chemotherapy and other therapies. And so as she makes this time, this season, a time of strength and stamina is prayed for her. We know that this is a very hard time for their entire family. She's been very healthy, and so it's shocking. But one of the things that they have identified in her is that they never talk to her but what she doesn't giggle, even in the midst of this. And so we lift Bill and your family up, and Janie, and all who know and love her, and Don, her husband, who will be involved in all of this also. And so we lift them up to the Lord and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. We continue to pray for Mark Davis, a dear friend of Terry and Bruce Widener, and we just lift him up to the Lord for strength and stamina and courage, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. We pray a praise for Morgan Hendrickson, Jeannie and Doug's grandchild. She has been struggling, and they think now that they have a diagnosis, they think they have a treatment that will help a little bit, and she's headed in a good direction now. And so we give a praise and a prayer for her, and we pray, O Lord, hear our praise. O Lord, hear our prayers. We continue to hold in prayer Cindy Fee and her family, especially Olivia and Amy's children, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for Greg Smith and Betty Smith. Greg is recovering from his motorcycle accident. And we just pray for strength and stamina and great healing. May Betty have what she needs to provide his care. and we just lift them up to the Lord and we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for our church, for its wholeness, and for the flourishment in our following of Jesus, and to understand where Jesus and God is preparing us to go and be. And so we pray to the Lord, oh Lord, hear our prayers. We give a great praise because we have Norval and Margaret back, and we just lift them up to the Lord and we pray, oh Lord, hear our praise. We lift up also Eileen. Her sweet half is still in rehab, and so we pray for Bob and for her stamina. And just welcome you back. And so we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for teachers who are already working hard before children even come into the classroom. We pray for God's hand to be upon them, to give them the fire of spirit. And as they teach children to love learning. And we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. We pray for those men and women who watch over us and serve us and protect us. May they know the presence of God in the midst of danger, and may their families be at peace as they love and support them. And we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. We lift up God, up to God, praise for Audrey and for Daniel. They participated yesterday in, is it Taekwondo they're in? A mixture of martial arts, and they actually take from Tim White, correct? And they are halfway to their black belts. They were breaking boards yesterday and doing those kinds of things. They received warrior awards, and they're very, very proud of those. And so we lift them up to the Lord, and we give praise. Oh, Lord, hear our praise. Are there any others? Any others? Okay, let's bow our hearts before our Lord. God of seeds, God who readies the soil of our souls, we come bearing our souls to you and receive new life from our praise and adoration in our worship of you and prayers to you, O healing God. We give thanks to you for all that is good and glorious in our lives. Lord, make our hearts places of peace, our minds harbors of stillness. Sow in our souls true love for you and for one another, and root deeply within us friendship and unity in Christ, your Son. Surprise us, O Lord, with the new and the old, the conventional and the unexpected. Take our breath away with the knowing of your presence, and then breathe new life and renewed spirit of you into our understanding of what it means to prepare to be a disciple, fit for our service here on earth and fit for our eternal home with you. We may feel as small as a mustard seed in the vastness of life. We may believe we are insignificant in this world that celebrates the popular, the powerful. But with you, Almighty God, miraculous changes can and do take place. Some small and some that move mountains, but none without significance in your sight. Reveal to us, O Lord, that you are able to take us from living in small ways to loving graciously and with deep, grand hearts. We pray that you, Jesus, awaken the still, unstirred part of our soul that only you can see and understand. Whisper to us of the limitlessness of your love and abundance of your ways. You, O God, present to us. You give us choices and bless us, but sometimes our choices lead us to curse of life, the choice being ours. Lead us, O Lord. Forgive us, O Lord, in our doubt of things we could have done but did not. Forgive us in our fear, the things we should have done but remained frozen in place. Forgive us for the times we could have shown grace and love and encouragement of children, teens, and adults, but withheld them because we were so broken ourselves. Show us how to receive your sacred mercy and how to scatter your word of love and faith and hope and peace to the least of these. Now, as hearers of your healing realm, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught and ask to be able to live from it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We come to a time of celebration of stewardship. May our Lord Almighty plant within each of us seeds of generosity, graciousness, and abundant compassion in our giving, our offerings, our sacred tithes. As we pass the offering plates, put your mustard seed in there and believe that it will grow in service or in mission or ministry or right here within our walls. It will grow to greatness with Jesus working through us.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings you have bestowed upon us. We now bring a portion of those gifts back to you. May we use them to advance your kingdom here on earth. Amen.
It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around can warm up in its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you not where you're bound. I'll shout from the mountaintop, I want the world to know the Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on.
Thank you so much. You had a mustard seed, and you put it in the offering, right, in the offering plate. When the children that, when I volunteered with the children that lived in a homeless shelter, they could live there short term with their families. And when they would come to the worship and wonder during the week when their parents went to Bible study, they would want to bring offering, but they didn't always have the money to do that. So I didn't want them to be shamed, and what I would tell them to do was take their hand and put it in the offering plate and say, I give my life to Christ. And so even though some had money, they still would say, I give my life to Christ. And so hopefully you know that whatever small within you, that it can grow and that it can be used to the will and purpose of God. They certainly believe that. And in fact, always brought their Bibles, never had to be reminded, and they were ages 3 to about 9. And then they came and they brought their tithes if they could, or their offerings. And so just keep that in your heart as we are about to go in and speak of the mustard seed. Let's pray to God. Gracious and holy God, I just ask that you bless these words. May these words be your message. May they be helpful. May they be hopeful. May they bring us to a place where we understand what is your message in these human words. May those float away, and may we be taken in to your love and go from this place as mustard seed people. It is in the sweet and holy name of Jesus the Christ that we pray these things. Amen. They walked together, side by side, hand in hand, along the border, grandmother and grandson. When they stopped to rest, the little boy looked up and said to his grandmother, "People say that here the olives grow bigger, that they taste better than anywhere in the land, and that there are blossoms that are more beautiful than anywhere else. Why is that, Grandma?" "Well, as with most important things," she said, "there's a reason. And I've been waiting for you to be old enough to hear this story. I've been waiting to tell you this true story about my father. When I was your age, he brought me here for the first time. And he told me this story. When my father was a little boy, Israel was not a state. But the Arabs and the Jews were enemies and lived side by side. And my father was not allowed to play down here near the border between the Jewish village and the Arab village. His parents would not allow him to go near the Arab village, and my father, being a good boy, did not. But one day, his head was filled with clouds and sky and lizards, and he wandered into the Arab village. Before he realized it, there were bigger Arab boys surrounding him, taunting him, teasing him. And because he was very small and he didn't know the language very well and was afraid of these boys and what his parents would say, he began to cry. But the boys began to shout and continued to torment him. And then the crowd around my father started to part because someone was yelling to stop teasing this boy and to leave him alone. The voice belonged to a small Arab boy, and amazingly, the older boys listened to him and they stopped taunting my father. Now, perhaps the older boys were tired, or perhaps they had achieved what they wanted, maybe to cause him to cry, but they left for whatever reason. And my father turned to that small Arab boy who had rescued him. The boy was thin and frail, but very feisty. He had black hair, as black as raven's wings, and dazzling black eyes that glistened and gleamed in the sunlight. The two boys looked at one another, and they smiled big grins. They played all day long together, the games that children play. They acted out scenes and adventures from their individual and mutual heritage. They recreated the heroes from their own culture, and they told each other new words and shared games from their own towns. At day's end, the Arab boy asked my father to return the next day, and my father promised that he would. And he came back, and the two played as if they were old friends that very next day. He returned the day after and the day after and the day after until his mother questioned him about why he wasn't playing with the children on his street. Where was he going every day? Well, she said, my father was an honest boy, and so he told her. And she grew frightened and told the father, and together they made him promise never to return to the Arab village, ever. My father did promise, she said, that he would never go back, but he broke it, that promise, only one time, for he was a good boy. But he felt he had to go back and tell his friend why he could never return to play again. His friend understood. He knew his parents would never allow him to go into the Jewish village if the situation were reversed. So the boys played all that day. Before they said goodbye, they took the pits from the olives that they'd had for lunch. And in a gesture more symbolic than practical, knowing with instinct beyond their years, they took those pits and they planted them all along the border. And they watered them and said their goodbyes forever. From those seeds, these olive trees grew more beautiful, more fragrant, and larger than anywhere in the land. A testimony to this friendship of neighbors. Unlikely neighbors. When his grandmother stopped talking, the boy thanked her for sharing the story and said he would like to come back often to this place that he now called his grandfather's olive grove. They rose to leave together, but he was distracted. He heard a voice behind him, and as he turned around, he saw a small Arab boy who was thin and frail but very feisty, with hair black as raven's wings and dazzling black eyes that glistened and gleamed in the sunlight. The two boys looked at one another and they smiled. We all know that Jesus was a master storyteller, and his chosen form of telling stories were parables. Those parables, those stories that take from the world around you that means something to you. And then Jesus forms a story that is deep. It's very deep when you explore and try to understand what this true story is that Jesus is sharing. And each time you visit it, you may see a different message in your life. Like rabbis of his day, if you asked him a question, you were more likely to get a story than a straightforward answer. As a storyteller, he must have been compelling. There isn't a minister going that wouldn't like to speak like Jesus did. Thinking about how captivating and weaving images into what he was giving insights to pressing issues of the day, to new generations, to the generation that he spoke to right there. And it always fit. It always fits. So, as a storyteller, he gives us this story. It is part of a whole group of parables. And this one, this too, is a comparison of the rule of God and invokes the image of growth. Not just a little growth, but a lot of growth. There is also an emphasis on the mystery and surprise of God. We live in an age when mystery and surprise of all life, including God's power, are being squeezed out of our consciousness. This parable asks us not to close our imagination too quickly, because there is a dynamic, vital power that is mysteriously beyond what we are able to take in and to grasp and to fully understand. But still, those stories of Jesus call to us, provide us with wisdom and vision and hope. Jesus teaches our history makes ready for the planting of the soul. Just as the fields are readied to be planted. His history is shown in this planting back when Israel walked this earth in the millions. Back when Israel was readied with prophets. Through the prophecy of John the Baptizer and through the life of Jesus, we are being made ready. But the reign of God has burst into history. And so my question is, why, if it burst into history through the life of Christ, does history seem so nonchalant about it? That is a question for the ages. Jesus uses this parable of the mustard seed to speak of this. You wouldn't think such an important question could be answered in two verses, would you? But here, the mustard seed is used. It was common back in Palestine at the time to use metaphors and symbols. And Palestine used the mustard seed for the smallest things in life. The plant can grow as tall as a house. The birds seem to love its little black seeds. Like the mustard seed, the followers of Jesus are a bunch of ragged ones, full of doubts and full of fears, unable at times to comprehend much of what Jesus says or does. So does the reign of God rest with us? Jesus says yes. This is the often messy seed from which the kingdom, not just the kingdom, but the kingdom of God will be proclaimed. Once again, he lifts up the grace and power of God, taking the smallest seed and transforming it, changing it, making it over into the great plant that provides sustenance, nourishment for all. It is at once a humbling parable and a thrilling parable for Jesus' followers. We don't have to be a huge sanctuary of souls to bear great fruit. Jesus is looking for hungry hearts, those longing for the bread of life, those for whom the world's answers have no ability to answer hard questions. Mark claims special knowledge of the church. Do you believe that? That in the church, we grow. We grow to be scatterers of the world. We are to be the scatterers, right? Isn't that what we're supposed to be? To scatter the seed of God's word on the ground here on earth? Just as the mustard seed adds spice to bland food, the word of God adds spice to life. It is a delicacy in and of itself. And so living from God's work makes it joyful and gives us answers that the world can't give. It was also used as medicine at the time of Jesus for anything from indigestion to snake bites. In other words, the kingdom of God is a healing realm, space for healing, where the word of God abides within our hearts and our minds and our souls, shown in the way that we treat others and this world in which we live. The mustard seed plant grew and spread rapidly. It wasn't a garden plant. It just went everywhere. With that energetic growth of the mustard plant, it could lead us to imagine similar energy and God's rule be done. We need this within congregations and then to spread with energy of life in Jesus to those we reach out to in the world. Let us all have the courage to challenge ourselves to the risk of readying the soul of ourselves. Here in our faith family and in venturing out into unknown places where there is helplessness and hopelessness and where we can take hope. sharing stories of Jesus' love and ministry and the way in which we live our lives. The words and meditations of our minds and our hearts feed us so that we can do what is pleasing in God's sight. So take a big, deep breath of God in and let out all distractions of the world. And close your eyes and listen in small ways to enlarge your soul energy. Did you know that Jesus is blessing you right now, right here? Receive the gifts of being kind, of hearing God's word, speaking gentle words of love, all to ready your soul for risen Christ work. And may you see Jesus holding your hands and hear him say, "These gifts you have received, give as gift." Take your big insecurities that makes you small and allow Jesus to make it grand for you and for God's people. Plant deep, dear ones, not wide. Amen. God calls each of us to come before the Lord and to say our faith in Jesus Christ. We welcome anyone who wants to unite with us to faithfully follow Christ. If you feel moved to come forward during the singing of our invitation hymn, it's number 612, verses 1 and 2. It's, "O Jesus, I have promised." If you feel that you've been urged, if the Spirit of God has moved you, come. And I will welcome you with open arms, and I will walk you through it. It is one question, and then you can unite with us in that way. So come, stand up, and we will sing hymn number 612. You may be seated. Jesus says, "All are welcome to share this meal of forgiveness and life." This meal prepares and readies us as favorable ground to receive the grace of our Lord and Savior, who willingly laid down his life for each one of us. Come, beloved of God, and receive the whole of this meal. Let us get ready to receive the cup of mercy and the bread of life by singing hymn number 384, "Here at Thy Table, Lord." Mm-hmm.
Eternal God, thank you for creating our world of fertile ground and for providing us with more blessings than we can name. We come together as a family of faith to your table to remember Jesus' sacrifice for us and to share this holy meal. We pray this bread will nourish our bodies and our faith to flourish, grow, and bear fruit like the mustard seed for your kingdom on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Glorious God, God of opportunity, this holy day we come to your table to receive the sacrament of wine that you have blessed to wash away our sins. Lord, may we see that your table is also a starting point for each of us to go out and scatter your seeds, seeds that with your blessing will grow your kingdom. Each day you give us life, an opportunity to glorify you. Through our Savior, your Son, the greatest gift of love the world has ever received. Amen.
with the whole of who you are. Let's go back. On the night that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he gathered his disciples together, and he took bread, gave thanks for it, and he broke it, and he said to them, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in like manner, he took the cup and he blessed it, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." For as often as you drink of the cup and eat of the bread, you proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. We go from this place. We share time, intentional time, an awareness of God in our presence. No matter how small you feel, or insignificant that you feel, you are all precious in God's sight. So if you will stand, we will prepare ourselves to leave by singing hymn number 439. We will sing one verse, and then if you will allow me, I will bless you out into this world through our Lord. Take your heart or your hand and put it on your heart. Bow your head. Come out of your head and into your heart. And allow me to bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. When you leave this place, may you believe with the whole of you that Jesus walks with you. May you know that although you may be a small seed, God will use you in great ways, even if you never know how. As favorable ground readied by God, may you scatter God's word in the living of your days and from the love of your heart. And may the Lord set his blessing upon you as you offer this day and yourself as Jesus' love revealed in this world. Peace be yours, mustard seed people of God. Go in peace. Amen.